Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And I'm here with a dynamic woman, and I just know you're going to get so much out of our conversation today. She is Sherry Brantley. Sherry is the author of STEP, S-T-E-P-P, for Start to Exercise Personal Power, How to Create Positive Change in Your Life. She is a certified life coach and is a dynamic leader and trainer specializing in the areas of goal setting and goal attaining. Sherry's passionate purpose is to assist people to make positive choices in their daily lives, affecting positive change by recognizing and utilizing their own personal power while respecting and accepting the personal power of others. And as a leading parenting instructor for Michigan State University's Building Strong Families program, Sherry was successful in teaching parents, teachers, and caregivers to develop positive communication skills and assisted them in utilizing techniques that were helpful in enhancing the overall dynamics of creating a positive family structure. Her workshop, entitled Raising You Can Kids, was an immediate success as she shared valuable tips and suggestions that parents were able to implement quickly and effectively. Her book, Seven Successful Strategies for Divorced Parents, highlights easy-to-use tips and techniques which families can incorporate immediately to improve many areas of their lives, including communication skills, health, finances, and more. But today, we are going to concentrate on you and how to tap into your personal power as we learn some goal-setting tips that lead to successful goal-getting results. So if you're serious about going from just setting goals and are now looking to be an active player in getting your goals, today's conversation and her simple-to-implement program, I'm sure, is for you. And as Sherry says, stop allowing your bucket list to be your I'll-just-shuck-it list. And with that, we want to dig in and get some sage advice, so we welcome you to the show, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's my pleasure to be here today.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. I know we're going to learn so much. And something that you say that I really, really appreciate, and I mentioned it in your intro, that you help people recognize and utilize their own personal power while respecting and accepting the personal power of others. And I really liked that second piece to that, while still respecting other people, because I think a lot of people think personal power is bigger than life and you just mow over everybody else. So I appreciated that.
That's a good point that you make. And I get that a lot when people are coming to my workshops and seminars. For some reason, some people think that personal power is doing just that, mowing over people, mm-hmm. Disrespecting folks, and just being hurt for you to be heard. But really, personal power is not a bullying tactic or any type of tactic that stems from fear. So personal power is really more of a spiritual power that you tap into that helps you begin to respect yourself, respect others, and raise your vibrational frequency to new levels.
Absolutely, and people can pick up on that without having bravado. Now, your STEP technique is based on the principles of the powerful law of attraction. And I really love the story you tell in your book about being at the library with your children and this book literally fell at your feet and changed the way you chose to parent and changed your life. And I would imagine that this event has roots in your program today. So just share that if you would.
Oh, sure, sure. And it was such a funny thing because I was in the library at the time and I'd taken my three girls. They were young at the time. And we went to the library often. But I got them settled in their area, and then there was another area where parents were able to go and take a look at some books that were on sale. So I was walking in that area, you know, by myself, going through the aisle, and all of a sudden this book literally fell from the bookshelf. Uh-huh. And at first I thought, well, maybe someone was on the other side, and they must have pushed it all the way through and didn't realize it had, you know, fallen. So I picked the book up, took a look at it, and I went to the other side of the aisle to see if maybe someone was there. And surprisingly, there was no one there on either side of the aisle where I was at. So I took a look at the book, and it was a book, one of the first books by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it was the one that is entitled, You'll See It When You Believe It. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, okay, this author has it all wrong. The saying is actually, I'll believe it. Let's see, the saying is actually, I'll see it when I believe it.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, he's got this all backwards. So I looked at the back of the cover, and it talked about the universal law of attraction and what you believe in, you begin to create in your life. And to me, I was a single parent, just had been going through a divorce, had just left the city of Detroit, and I was thinking to myself, well, sure, this guy probably can have it all. He probably already had it all his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought at that time, I was intrigued by the book, but not in the way that I believed in the concepts or the principles. What I wanted to do was take the book home, read it, apply the principles, and then when they didn't work, contact Dr. Wayne Dyer and say, hey, this book is a bunch of crap. It doesn't work. Let me tell you what my life is about. So to make a long story short, I took the book home, applied the principles, and Pat, they worked magically in my life. Everything that I started to focus on that was positive began to increase exponentially in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I focused on since I had three daughters was to begin to hug them more each day, because at that point I was short-tempered, used to holler a lot, do that kind of thing with my girls. And so I said to myself, well, if you start hugging them, you won't be hollering at them and hugging them at the same time. So my goal was to give each of my three girls at least three hugs in the morning, three hugs in the afternoon, and three hugs in the evening.
Mm.
And what began to happen, and I wasn't even realizing this, is that they began to reciprocate that, and they began to hug me more. So the hugs that I was giving out was now increased exponentially with all three of the girls. So that was just one of the smaller things I did. But I took the principles of that book and began to utilize them in different areas of my life, physically and financially and mentally. And boy, was I was so surprised.
Isn't that something? That kind of just set your journey right there with that book falling. When I read that, I thought, this is really cool. I wanted to share that. And I also wanted to share this other story, because I'm a big fan of positive affirmations and the benefits of putting mm-hmm. positive thoughts into the world. Tell us about the plane ride from Arizona to Michigan that led you to co-author a book, because I think this exemplifies how the universe does respond to our thoughts and affirmations.
And you know, Pat, not only does the universe respond to us, it actually responds to us immediately, because the universe doesn't have a concept of time. I mean, that's a man-made concept. So with that story, this was years later, after I began implementing the universal laws, especially the law of attraction, what you think about, you bring about. So I happened to be going, I had moved to Arizona by this time and happened to be going back to Michigan to visit family and friends. And I happened to be on a plane ride with and I sat next to this gentleman who was kind of talkative, and he was telling me that he and his wife were doctors, and his wife was a optometrist. And so she had been working with patients that had this little known disease called vertical heterophoria. And in a nutshell, that's when there's a section in the brain that doesn't work properly for people, and so it distorts their vision. And people can get this at any age, and anything can cause it. You can have a fall or a traumatic accident or something that causes slight brain damage for people. But what this optometrist discovered was there was a prism lens that she could put into the patient's eyeglasses that would correct that vision problem. Now, the thing about this vision problem, it sounds like a slight, small thing, but it's not. Because people weren't able to see clearly, they were no longer able to drive. Without being able to drive, they weren't able to work, so they were unemployed. I mean, it went across the spectrum for how debilitating it was for different patients. But so this doctor was telling me that his wife had made this discovery, and she wanted to do a book about it so that she could train other eye doctors how to identify this issue with their patients. I had by this time written quite a few books by that time, and I happened to say to him, I'm a published author. I can talk with her and you know, maybe collaborate with you and get that book out. Now, the thing about that is his wife was also on the plane, and so he switched seats with her. And she came to talk to me, and she was very excited about getting that information out, being able to train other optometrists, because she was in the Michigan area, so she had patients coming from all over, as far away as London, to see her and get these prism lenses. Well, she invited me to come out to her clinic to actually see her in action and see some of the patients and see the results that they were able to have with them, and I was blown away. I mean, I could not believe what I saw. There was actually a gentleman that had come in on that particular day that I was there with a cane, and he was, you know, finding it difficult to walk and everything. And she put the prototype lens, prism lens on him, and he was able to walk straight. He straightened up his back. He was no longer using the cane. And I thought to myself, okay, this is really weird.
Yeah.
So I actually stayed in Michigan a few days more and watched her work with those patients. And so in a nutshell, they asked if I would be willing to collaborate with them and interview about 50 of their patients and put those stories into a book, one book for other people to read about so they could identify those issues within themselves. And that book was completed back in 2014, and it's called If the Walls of My Exam Room Could Talk. And so I co-collaborated with both doctors for that, and that's Dr. Mark Rosner, and he's a TBI. Her husband was a traumatic brain injury surgeon, so I worked with him and her for that. But that was another great experience I had, and it's all about being open to the opportunities and the possibilities that the universe has for us, and I, of course, was open to that and took advantage of that. But those things it was just amazing. I had no idea that I would ever be a part of a project such as that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So often we sit next to someone on a plane and you just try to look the other way, and and you were putting that energy back out there, and so it was coming back to you. So yeah, I just thought that was a very telling story too, because you do talk about affirmations when you talk about your 7 principles of the STEP program. So let's focus on that STEP program, start to exercise personal power. Give us an overview and then we'll dig a little bit deeper later on.
That assists people to begin to, first of all, find out what their passion and their purpose in life is, what is it they really would like to do in life. But then it goes a little bit deeper and it takes a look at their beliefs and their belief systems to let them see where they're at in life versus where they would like to be in life and how we can go about changing or updating those belief systems. And now a thing about that is when you talk about people's belief systems, they have them for lots of different reasons. Sometimes they're attached to them, and sometimes they may be somewhat unattached to them. But it's really important to determine what it is they truly believe and why they believe what they believe. And then we go from there to help them get from one level to the next, or point A to point B, so that they can begin to shift their thinking, which allows them to shift their actions, which allows them to have different circumstances and situations that begin to unfold for them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So let's briefly go through those 7 principles of the STEP program.
Okay, and these principles are also in the STEP book on page 57.
Okay.
So we talk about and these are very simple principles, and a lot of people, when they hear them, they're like, oh, well, that's pretty simple. But the first one is learn to say respectful but powerful no. And what I mean by that is if someone is asking you to do something that you really prefer not to do, you don't have to give reasons or excuses, just say your no and leave it at that. And if they have an issue with that, those are issues that they are needing to deal with, but it's not something you need to lift that baggage on your shoulders. The second one is know that you don't always have to give a reason for your no. So that goes back to, not having to make excuses or anything like that. Understand that you have a right to say no. And then the third one, of course, is to respect the rights of others to say no. So if you're finding out what your passion is and you're beginning to say no, then respect when other people are also telling you no and know that they're on the path that they're looking to do and be on to create for themselves. The fourth one is your yes should resonate with you when you give it. So if you're asked to do something, maybe do a volunteer project or asked to go to an event that you really want to do, if it's something that really makes your heart say, yeah, I can do that, then that, of course, resonates with you. If it's something that you're like, I don't have the time, or I don't have the money, or that throws me off my schedule, then know that it may be more powerful to say no at that point. And then the next rule is to review the consequences of your habits. And, when we say habits, people usually think bad habits, like drinking, smoking, gambling. But habits can be good habits as well, such as watching your diet, exercising, even making your bed in the morning. So look at the habits that you have and see if they're ones that encourage a vibrant, healthy, and joyous lifestyle, or do they create sickness, disease, or injury. So you want to take a look at the habits that you have in your life and see which ones you can eliminate if need be. And that one reminds me of an old saying that I always stay with me. It says, in the beginning, we make our habits. In the end, our habits make us.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's really powerful.
Yes, it is.
And the next one is to value your time. When you value you, others will follow suit. And when I say this, I actually talk about that in all areas. So if you're one of those that think it's fashionably late to show up at weddings late and funerals late and events late, you're really just disrespecting those that have come on time and disrespecting the entire event. So you really want to begin to show that you respect your time and you respect the time of others. And that way, when you begin to give events, people would know to be purposeful and be on time. And then the last one is to remember that everyone has personal power. It is a spiritual power that is waiting to be tried, not denied. So once you begin to say your no, once you begin to resonate with your yes, once you begin to do those types of things, your vibrational frequency begins to increase, and the universe will respond to you accordingly. So as you raise your expectations, your opportunities also raise to the limit that you're at. So it's really a powerful program. It's a simple one that people can implement beginning today with the just starting to say no concept.
Mm-hmm. I think that really resonates with everybody. So many times, I'm sure everyone knows that somebody's asked them to do something and they say yes and they really want to say no, and then you begrudgingly do it and it becomes this horrible thing for yourself. And then, as you said, you always feel like you have to qualify it. No, because I have to be here and do that and mm-hmm. whatever. It's so hard to say, no, thank you. And just move
and I
on.
I want people to start saying, it's not as hard as I've been taught, you know. And I get that. When no is one of the first words we hear when we're growing up. You know, no, don't touch the hot mm-hmm. stove. No, don't run out into the street. No, you can't stay up. So we hear it a lot, and we know what it feels like to hear no. And so we don't want to make someone else feel that way, that like we're rejecting them or not accepting something that they're asking us to do. But again, once you begin to say no to the things that are time wasters or vampires that suck up your energy,
yep.
then you begin to free yourself up to all of the yeses in life and the opportunities that come your way.
I love it. I love it. It's all about valuing yourself mm-hmm. and yeah, and having, as you say, to resonate with your yes. I like that, the way that you phrase that as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk about goal setting, because everyone's going to think, oh, no, goal setting, you know, and we all have learned and take courses and classes about that. Let's talk. You have four easy rules to setting your goals.
And I love this stuff here because, first of all, Pat, a lot of us are taught, you know, in order for you to get your goals, it's an uphill battle. You're going to struggle the whole time. You have to give up and sacrifice. And that may be true to a certain extent in certain areas of your life. But there really are some easy rules to setting your goals and some easy rules to being able to getting your goals. So one of the things, of course, rule number one is you have to determine what your goal is. So that's an obvious one. You really have to know what it is you want to do so that you can define and be concise and specific with that information. And then what the second rule helps the first rule in that you need to know the why, W-H-Y, of your goal. And what I like to say in my step book is, know the whys, W-I-S-E. So know the why mm-hmm. of the whys of your goal, W-H-Y.
Like
so it's
I
kind
like
of
it.
A play on words
yep.
here. But it assists you to solidify why you want to attain that goal. And the reason why I say that, that's the second rule is when the road does get tough, you can go back and look at your why, and that will inspire you and motivate you to stay on your path. Mm-hmm. And then rule number three is, of course, to establish a realistic time frame. And too many times people come up with time frames that are just unrealistic. They aren't able to meet them. And so now they say goal setting doesn't work. But you really want to take a look and see the time that's needed to complete each of your goals. And then rule number four is what I call dividing your goals into bite-sized chews. So you don't want to bite off more than you can chew. But you do want to be able to divide your goals so that within that reasonable time frame that you've developed, you're able to begin achieving those goals. And when you do it in that way, Pat, you're actually able to begin achieving your goals more quickly and easily, and that keeps you motivated to stay on track for your goals. So those are the four easy rules to setting your goals. And anyone can begin to implement these rules with whatever goals they have, whether they're large or small, and start today, immediately.
Mm-hmm. I like the last one. You know, you have to do them in small increments. I think the saying is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's
exactly right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then they also say, though, that you, if you make a goal, that you have to either put it in writing or tell somebody to give it some concrete basis. So talk about the four easy rules that you have to actually writing your goals.
Okay, and I'm a really strong proponent of writing things. Writing really solidifies in your mind and in your heart, and you can see it in black and white what it is that you're looking to do. Now, another thing about writing PAT is that it allows you to be able to tweak your program, see what areas where you may need to make changes. So as long as you're keeping track of all of that, you're able to stay more so on your goal path. But the four easy rules with my STEP program that I have for writing your goals is to write your goal in the positive. So that sounds like a really obvious one, but when I do my workshops and I have people begin to write what their goals are, Pat, I hear people say, well, I don't want to, you know, mm-hmm. and then et cetera. And so you don't want to focus on what you don't want. The idea is to focus on what your end goal is going to be, and then we look at that in a positive way. And then the second rule is to be specific in your goals. And you would be surprised, Pat, when you ask people what they would like to do financially in a year from now, and they'll say something like, oh, I want to be making $140,000 a year. Okay, so how are you going to do that? Are you going to increase your clientele? Are you going to increase your services and products that you have? You have to be specific as to what you're going to be doing in order to get to that point. And being specific, of course, defines and clarifies what your goals are for you as well, so that you're able to stay on track with that. The third rule is to write in the present tense. So if you're saying, someday I'm going to get on a hot air balloon ride, well, we all know someday is not on the calendar. You don't have a time frame for you. So it can happen or it could not happen. And our goals do not just happen someday when we least expect them. We have to be working towards them and planning them and executing that plan. And then rule number four is to rewrite your goals. Now, the reason I have this one, Pat, is because, again, I said I'm a big, huge proponent of writing our goals. But once you've actually clarified and defined what you would like to do, it's always a good idea to go back and make sure you have written them in the present tense, you have used positive affirmation, affirming words when you've developed your goal, that you've been specific in what it is that you would like to do. So rewriting it kind of just solidifies that for you and tightens it up for you at that point, so that you're really sure as to what you're going to do and how you're going to go about doing it.
Wow, this just makes so much sense.
And you know what I call that one, because I like to do the play on words. I say, learn to write, W-R-I-T-E, to write, R-I-G-H-T,
ooh,
your life.
I
so
like
it's right to write your life.
You're good at this.
I love this stuff.
I can tell you have such energy. And then you've got the four common most mistakes that people make when setting their goals and how to avoid them. Let's go through those.
Yes. Now, you know, I've worked with many people over the years with goal setting, and these happen to be the four top common mistakes that people make when setting their goals. And the first one is the from the rule of writing the goal that I just talked about. So one of them is not writing your goals. You don't write them down. You're not specific. You're not concise. And so that's one of the four common mistakes. The other one is they make their goals, well, let me say this. They are taking a look at the end in mind, you know, the same way it says begin with the end in mind. So they have their goals in their mind, what they think is too big. So there's no such thing as a goal that's too big, but if you're just focused on that end one and don't look at the steps that you need to take in between, people become overwhelmed, they become fearful, they think they're not worthy of that end product, and so they don't try to achieve that goal. So one is not written, and the other is too big. And then the other mistake that people make is that they do too many. And I did a workshop once showing people how to make a vision board. And so this one lady had a vision board that was so massive, it was almost made me dizzy just to look at it. She had traveling on it. She had losing weight. She had going back to school. She had getting her degree. She had raising, you know, kids, finding a new job. It was like, wow, what are you going to do first? And she said, I have no idea. And so the problem sometimes is that people have too many goals, and you can't focus on too many goals and be specific with too many goals mm-hmm. at once. So that's another one. And then the fourth one, again, is not being specific. So you just have all of these things on a vision board. Nothing is defined. Nothing is clear and concise. And that's when you have that, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. I don't even know if I can do this. So those are the things, not written, too many, too big, and not specific. And those are common mistakes that I show people how to avoid when they're working with my STEP program for goal setting.
I think people do need help. They can't really do all of this on their own. And I know that you offer a download copy of your STEP book, but you also offer coaching. So let's just talk about how we can put all this together, including you and your services, and how you can help people accomplish this.
Well, I'm known as the go from goal setting to goal getting coach, because many of us set goals, but it's very few of us that actually get those goals achieved.
Mm-hmm.
So those are one of the things that I work with people. And it's really done in a way where my clients are able to develop what I call a MAP, M-A-P, and it stands for My Action Plan. And that's just a personalized plan that they develop that fits within their own lifestyle so that they're able to begin to use these tools that I just talked about, and they're able to begin to implement them immediately into their lives. And I can tell you, Pat, the clients that I work with are normally able to achieve their initial goals within that first 7 days, because I get them clear, I have them define what it is they want to do, and then we divide those goals into those bite-sized chews, and then they're able to see themselves making the steps necessary to do that. So I love doing my goal-setting workshops with people, and I call them goal setting. I call them goal getting. So, but it's a very good program. So people that work with that step program are able to achieve their goals more easily and quickly by developing that plan for themselves.
So groups can work with you, and you can do group workshops and one-on-one as well?
Well, I'm sorry, that's correct.
Okay.
I do groups as well as one-on-one individual settings. So my website, which is my name, sherrybrantley.com, has the different types of coaching packages that I offer. And the first initial coaching for anyone that decides to contact me, that first initial one is a free one, just so that we can, you know, decide what it is they would like to do, see if we would be compatible to work with each other.
Right.
And that's a 45-minute free session.
Okay, good. So you offer a free 45-minute free coaching session just to kind of get their feet wet with all of this. You also offer then the step book. You have a downloadable copy at your website, sherrybrantley.com. Yeah?
I do. The step book is a downloadable copy that anyone listening today could get, but I also have the downloadable copies of the 7 principles of the step program and the benefits of using those 7 principles. So that's another free gift that they can get with visiting my site.
Great. That's sherrybrantley.com, B-R-A-N-T-L-E-Y. And Sherry is spelled S-H-E-R-R-Y, sherrybrantley.com. Wow. We've talked about a lot of things today. Is there anything that we've missed? I'm sure there's plenty, but that you want to bring out today?
The only thing I would like to say is if you visit my site, you'll see my mantra, and it says, knowledge is in the knowing, but wisdom is in the doing. So that's something that I really want people to understand, because a lot of us know how to lose weight, but how many of us are actually losing weight?
Mm-hmm.
So you really, the knowledge is really good to have, but you really want to get yourself into action mode and begin really doing the steps necessary to achieve your goals. And listen, people, we can achieve our goals no matter how large or small. You really are not meant to just believe and never achieve.
Absolutely. And with a person as such as yourself, with the obvious high energy that you have in the background and the excitement and enthusiasm, so if folks are stagnant and wondering how they're going to get out of whatever situation they're in, they could contact you, head over to your website, and I'm positive that you can help them out.
You know, it's such a great thing, Pat, because a lot of times I'll get people that say, but Sierra, I don't know what my passion is. I don't know what I want to do in life. And I say, really? And then there's this exercise that I have them do, you know, if I could, this is what I would do. And you would be surprised. All of a sudden, they're airline pilots. they've gone back to school. They've received their law degree. They've written their first book. And I'm going, hey, I thought you didn't know any of this stuff. And they were like, well, I never actually thought about what I would really like to do. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'll ask people, what did they always want to be when they grew up? Because a lot of times we have that taken from us when people are saying, oh, you got to grow up. You need to be realistic. You have a family. And so we kind of push those hidden talents that we have to the side.
Mm-hmm.
But I really have some type of a unique talent where I'm able to work with people to draw that out of them. And it's really coming from them anyway. That's really what this whole personal power is about, is drawn out from them what they would like to do in life.
Oh, you are an exciting lady to know.
This stuff is fun, I'm telling you, Pat.
Well, I'm going to encourage all the folks listening to take a step in the right direction, as Sherry says. Knowledge is in the knowing, but wisdom is in the doing. So visit her website right now, because also, as Sherry says, someday is not on the calendar. I love that. I'm going to remember that from now on. So visit her website, sherrybrantley.com. Sherry, you are a gift. So happy that we met, and thank you for joining us today and just sharing your excitement and enthusiasm and the STEP program with our listeners.
It's been totally my pleasure, Pat, and thank you so much for this opportunity for me today. I appreciate it.